I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
I'm Gordon Comstock, and our guest today is Wendy Callahan from the website vaccinetruth.org. And I went, and, as I mentioned a few weeks back when I had Dr. Rebecca Carley on, I went and stuck my head down another rabbit hole, and lo and behold, all roads lead to Rockefeller, I guess. Folks, if you're having your babies vaccinated, you need to take the red pill now. Educate yourself. And Dr. Wendy Callahan is here to, I would trust you more than a lot, so many of the doctors I've been around lately. Welcome aboard, Wendy Callahan.
Well, thank you for having me.
So tell us, Wendy, what got you started in this this quest you're on now, this kind of crusade?
Well, it was my son.
Mm-hmm.
I took him, like a good mom, to his pediatrician to get his vaccinations. And see, what makes it worse is my mom was going to a chiropractor at the time. And the chiropractor said, you know, Pat, make sure you tell Wendy not to vaccinate those babies that she has, because it's very dangerous that she's going to have. Because I was only pregnant with one at the time. And she said, and I said, Mom, my pediatrician knows more than your chiropractor. Don't be silly. Think about it. The chiropractor goes to school for, what, 4 years? My pediatrician goes 8 years. He's got to know way more about vaccines than chiropractors. But I'll ask. So I asked my pediatrician, well, do they really need this? Do they really need these vaccines? Oh, yeah, they'll die without them.
Right.
So I said, well, you know, I have to trust the pediatrician. And I went ahead and vaccinated. And what I didn't notice is that every time my son was reacting, I just didn't know what to look for or what was dangerous or anything. So 2 months, I remember taking him there and gave him his vaccines, and it was his first ones. And he arched his back so far and screamed that I remember thinking, he's only 10 or so pounds. I can't even hold on to him. He's so upset. And later on, when I start researching these vaccines, I find that the French call that cry encephalique, which is brain damage in progress. Isn't that great? And every single time I would take him, I would, you know, something horrible would happen, but they would always tell me, oh, it's nothing, it's normal, it's not a problem. At 4 months, he had this rash all over. And they said, oh, you're giving him too many baths, he's in bubble bath, whatever, it's a little dermatitis. Now, after I start researching vaccines, there's antifreeze in there.
Nice.
And antifreeze, the side effect is, skin problems.
Uh-huh.
So it's all these little poisons are adding up in my son's body, and I don't know it. And then finally, at 15 months, I take him, and it's something like 8 shots at a time. He starts having seizures. And it took me a while to figure out what was happening, because I had him in the crib. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and he's banging his head. And by the time I get there, you know, the seizure's over. So finally I put him in bed with me, and he's waking up, having a seizure. He falls off my bed, just about killed him. Until I realize I have to hold on to this child, you know? And my pediatrician says, oh, get it on video. Can you imagine 3 o'clock in the morning he has a seizure? Every 3 o'clock in the morning I'm trying to get this on video. So finally I did, and he says, oh, yeah, that's seizures. And we did EEGs, and the doctor at the hospital says he's seizing from a scale of from 0 to 10. He's like a 7 to 8. He's like in a constant seizure. You just only notice it about 6 to 8 times a day. So at that point, I started researching vaccines, because my husband said, well, what about that paper that they gave you from the doctor? Maybe it's you know, from the vaccines. And I went, no, come on, no way. I look at it, it's called the What You Need to Know Fact Sheet. It says right on there, 6 out of 10,000 will seize from this vaccine. And I take this to my pediatrician. He goes, oh, no, he's not seizing from the vaccines. I said, did this come from your printer? He says, yeah, but it's something different. What?
Of course not.
Well, what could it be? I mean, we just injected him with some of the most toxic chemicals on the planet, and he seizes, but that's not it.
There's a liability issue at stake, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And see, every time I was signing my name to those vaccines, I'm releasing him from his liability.
Mm.
Unbelievable.
That's true. Let me bring this up really quick, Wendy.
Okay.
This is why Dr. Carley... you might be aware of this, having spoken with her, but her remedy for that, in order for parents to get away from doctors who want to jab their babies, is to drop or obtain from Dr. Carley a written contract, which and have the doctor sign it, whereby he or she will assume any responsibilities for anything happening.
I actually have that on my website.
Awesome.
Yeah. I have it right there.
You do.
You just print it, hand it to your doctor, and if he says he'll assume responsibility, you go right ahead.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sure. Awesome. I'm going to look for
it.
Okay.
He never will. Never. Mine is so funny. I've gone to probably 6 or 7 of them because they usually throw me out after a while. Ask me not to come back.
You did something right then.
Yeah. The whole thing is, what's so embarrassing for them is they should know this stuff, but they don't.
Well, so many of them are not vaccinating their own babies.
You know, mine is. The last one that I'm going to right now, I have begged her. I have pleaded with her. I have given her information, like, and she goes, I don't want to discuss it with you.
No, she's taking the blue pill.
Yeah, she says, I don't want to debate it with you. I said, well, you can't debate it with me. That's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you need to look at this. And she is good with me. She had me sign a paper a long time ago, and she never asked me about vaccines if I need to take my vaccine.
It's called willful ignorance.
Yeah. She was so funny. You know, some of the vaccines are made out of chicken eggs.
Uh-huh.
And chicken eggs get a real fun disease for them called avian leukosis, which is their bird leukemia. Well, anything made with a chicken egg, which is like the MMR, see, my kids are, they've had their vaccines to 18 months. Now, they're 7 and 8 now, so they've missed several of them at 5 years old. So she's always wanting to catch me up, you know, catch them up. And I said, well, let's go look at your MMR and see if it's avian leukosis free, because they have started to screen for bird leukemia now.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, if it's on the vial that it's avian leukosis free, you know, I'd like to see it. She would never show me these vials. She will not let me see. So if it's not on there, that means it does contain bird leukemia. And I said, you're potentially injecting my kids with bird leukemia and you don't even know if it's on there or not? She changes the subject very quickly.
That's some big-time cognitive dissonance,
you know,
a.k.a.
I have
willful ignorance.
I have on my website the letter from the FDA to Merck that says, please screen for these adventitious, that's the extra viruses that are in these vaccines.
Now, in Merck, you were talking about one of
the manufacturer, yeah.
Which is like the other big pharma
pharmaceuticals
owned by Rockefeller.
We like to call it Big Pharma.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's good. Yeah, how apt.
Yes. So anyway, back to the story.
Mm-hmm.
We went through the pediatric neurologist, name it, and I realized that they would not believe me. Because I was, at that point, I was so silly thinking that if they knew what caused it, they could fix it. But if they're never going to accept what causes it, then they can't fix it. So after a while, I realized there's no reason to talk to these people anymore. And I was at a loss of what to do, and my mother-in-law comes out and says, why don't you try some vitamins? I know a woman who sells vitamins. And see, you know, at that point, Gordon, I was ready to go down to a witch doctor in Jamaica, you know, to stop seizures. I just was at my wit's end. And she introduced me to someone. He's a medical doctor, but turned homeopath. I had never heard that word before, homeopath. So we went there. We were there for 3 hours. I said, he's seizing. And I said, can you stop seizures? And he says, yeah, sure. My mouth just about hit the ground. No, I said, no, do you understand what a seizure is? I mean, do you know what a seizure is? I mean, he's doing this 8 times a day. Oh, yeah, we'll stop them. I said, how? And he says, do you have his medical records with you? And, you know, they told me to bring that ahead of time. So I said, sure. And he goes, let me see him. Let me see the vaccines he got. And then I knew. I was right. And he goes,
wow.
He got 1, 2, 3, 4. And he's counting the vaccines. And he goes, 8 vaccines at one time? I started crying. Oh, I'm sorry. And he goes, no, not you, not you. You're a good mom. You did what you were supposed to do. I just can't believe they're giving him this many. Because he'd stopped being a pediatrician for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't believe how many they had added just in that little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
So he did. He gave them vaccine remedies, holistic, homeopathic vaccine remedies. Within 13 days, he had his last seizure.
Oh, wow.
You tell me that it wasn't vaccines. We did a vaccine remedy, and they stop.
I'm not going to tell you that.
No.
I know.
I went back to his pediatrician, and I said, don't you want to know how I fix this? I mean, do you want this doctor's number? You could call him. I mean, don't you think it's odd that he stopped seizing after she's seizing for 3 months, 8 times a day? I said, do you think that it was magic, or what do you think happened? He goes, well, I don't know, but I don't want his number.
Of course not.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it.
Medicine, Western mainstream medicine has become a priesthood, and it's really a false religion. It stomped out homeopathy 100 years ago, 100 plus years ago.
There's no science behind it. It's a religion. You have to believe that vaccines work because there is no science behind it.
And, boy, we're going to get into that, the history, the actual bogus history of vaccines. Well, tell us, Wendy, your daughter also had a reaction to the vaccines, did she not?
Yes. And, see, I had her first, and when I took her to get her 2 month vaccines, by the time we were just entering the elevator to go home, she stopped breathing. And she turned completely white. And I picked her up out of her little, you know, infant carrier, and I shook her, you know, not to break her neck or anything, but I just shook her as hard, you know, kind of hard to get her to wake up. And she, you know, took a deep breath and started breathing again. Scared me half to death. I ran back in there. They went over her with a fine-tooth comb, and they just said, oh, you're a new mom. This, you know, she didn't really stop breathing. You're just a new mom. You don't know what you're doing.
How patronizing.
And if it had happened again, then I would have, you know, maybe known. But it didn't happen again. So I just figured, I listened to them. You know, I was a new mom. I wanted to do exactly everything right. But now, boy, if I had a chance to do it over again, I would do things so differently.
Yeah. Well, we were fed, if you're on the mainstream media disinformation trough, if you're feeding that pig slop that they give us, it's so easy to be duped.
Oh, it's so easy. And, you know, it was so funny because I prayed so hard that God would heal my son. And as I'm logically going over this in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, okay, God, I didn't trust your immune system in the first place. And now I've injected my son with aluminum mercury, formaldehyde, diseased animal tissue, RNA and DNA from filthy animals.
Snake venom and monkey pus,
Yes, and dead virus and live virus. And then I'm asking God to heal him.
Yeah.
You know, when we vaccinate, it's like saying to God, I don't trust you. I don't trust your creation. And I'm going to inject some of the most toxic chemicals on the planet because I think that I know better than your plant. That's essentially what you're doing.
Yeah. God said life is in the blood. Don't mess with it. He sealed it up for a reason.
Exactly. And, you know, I went back to my pediatrician because I genuinely like this man. I really did. And I went back to him and I said, do you know what you're doing? I mean, how does the immune system work exactly?
They don't.
He says, we don't know.
Bingo, yeah.
I said, you don't know? I said, why didn't you tell me how dangerous this was?
I shot in the dark.
You didn't know how the immune system worked. And he goes, because I would lose my license. And that's when I asked him if he thought I cared about his license. It was everything I could do just not to just punch him. It really was.
Well, I'll tell you, Wendy, I have read nearly all the stuff on Dr. Rebecca Carley's site, and I finished reading the book The Poisoned Needle by Eleanor McBean, and I'm halfway through Immunization, The Reality Behind the Myth by Waylene James, and I have another book after that I'm going to get into. Holy smokes, the whole germ theory looks to me to be a fraud.
Well, you know, that's why they don't call it germ law or germ truth, because it's a germ theory, just
wow.
like the antibody theory. You know, it's all a theory.
Uh-huh.
It's what's so funny. There's no science. It's based on faith. And if you understand that, then you can say, well, I choose not to believe in that. And then you're okay.
So in your studies, have you come across the comparison between Louis Pasteur and Antoine Beauchamp?
Yes, I sure have. I sure have.
What have you learned about good old Louis?
You know what? You know what is so neat and what I like to? I have a there's a doctor that's making a vaccine, and he likes to debate with me all the time. And I always say to him, he's afraid of germs. You know, he's afraid of germs. I said, well, if you're afraid of germs, why inject them into children?
Yeah.
You know, why do that? I mean, not that, you know who you would really love to talk to about this is Ingrid Castle. She knows so much about the germ theory. And, you know, she says that really when you get sick, it's more like your body is cleansing. And you don't want to suppress those symptoms. Like if you're sneezing, your body's trying to rid itself of something that's come in. Or if you're throwing up or having diarrhea, you want that because you want your body to get rid of those things. And it's more of like a cleansing.
Well,
than anything.
And we also have to discuss what are these things, because what I'm coming across is Beauchamp's work, the stuff that Pasteur liked of Beauchamp's work, he plagiarized and stole and took credit for. But there was a big dichotomy between the work of Pasteur and Beauchamp elsewhere, and Beauchamp taught that there's no such thing as germs. We have these things inside us all the time. They just, if we're not eating right, if we're not living right, they morph into something pathological.
Right. Well, you know, look at the HIV vaccine. The HIV vaccine is for a naturally occurring bacteria in our throat.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you inject a bacteria that naturally occurs in your throat, and then now your body is set up to attack it? Do you know what I mean? It's a ridiculous waste of time. It's like, why don't you find out why these children have gotten into this state where this bacteria, whatever it is, has taken over, you know, more so than it should be, why it's not in balance.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, they want to make a vaccine for it.
Well, because you can make money off vaccines.
Exactly.
You can't make money off telling people to eat right.
Exactly. Or breastfeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just no money there.
How true. Wendy, how about the history of vaccination? You will hear time and again mainstream propagandists defending vaccination by telling us how the vaccinations cured smallpox and they cured polio.
You know, what is so funny, if you will look at a chart that starts at 1900 instead of one that starts at 1940,
yeah,
you will find these diseases were gone long before vaccines came out. And you know, my favorite vaccine is the polio vaccine. That is the one that most people think that saved, you know, everyone's life.
Mm-hmm.
This vaccine is so hideously contaminated. There is a book called The Virus and the Vaccine. It's an absolute must-read. Absolute.
The Virus and the Vaccine.
The Virus and the Vaccine. And it's a story of a little boy. He was, in 1997, he's 2.5 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
He dies of a brain tumor. And the parents are distraught. I mean, they're hysterical because they forced them to take chemotherapy and they wanted to do a more natural approach.
They forced them?
They forced them.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and it ended up, it was a horrible mess, but that's only one part of it. The rest of it was they did an autopsy and they find that in his brain he has SV40. SV40 stands for simian virus number 40.
Oh, that's the monkey stuff.
Right, right. You see, they make that polio vaccine in monkey kidney tissue.
Yeah.
So they make the vaccine, he gets the vaccine, and they find SV40. So his parents start researching. They find this Dr. Michael Carbone, or Mikhail Carbone, I don't know how to pronounce his name exactly, but he says, oh yeah, this is a monkey virus. And so they're like, hot, you know? This was from the vaccine that he got this tumor. So they tried to sue Lederer, the maker of the vaccine. Well, what happened, they find out that this is SV40, and they blame the parents. Oh, you must have had the polio vaccine, and you've passed it on to your son, and that's it.
How recent was this event?
It's recent.
Okay.
This is like last year.
Okay.
So they say, oh, no, we never got the polio vaccine because we're from South America, something like this. They didn't get it. Now, what they didn't know was they had the cord blood for Alexander when he was born. And they tested the cord blood. There's no SV40 in it.
Oh, boy.
So that's it. He got it from the vaccine. You know, unless he's hanging out in a park with monkeys. No. So, you know, he's 2.5 when he dies. So they take it to Lederer. Big court case. This is what the book's about, you know, the court case and everything. And the rule, the law about making vaccines is you have to grow out the medium that the vaccines are grown in. You have to grow it out for 14 days.
Uh-huh.
And if nothing grows in it for 14 days, it's safe to make a vaccine out of, right?
Uh-huh.
What they found out is that it takes 19 days for SV40 to grow. Okay? Uh-huh. Now, so that means, yes, SV40 was in the vaccine. Nobody knew it, but guess what? Lederer is not liable because the law says 14 days.
You don't happen to have the author's name of that book, do you?
Yes. Debbie Bookchin and Jim Schumacher.
That's The Virus in the Vaccine.
The Virus and the Vaccine. Excellent read.
Okay.
And the whole thing is you can only read it for about 15 minutes at a time because you get so angry that you can't see straight.
Yeah, well.
And now, do you think they have changed that process, making it grow out to 19 days? No, it's still 14. That vaccine is still hideously contaminated with SV40.
Well, reading Eleanor McBean's book, The Poison Needle, she goes through the history, the sordid history of the polio vaccine, how it was basically killing children.
Yeah.
And so many states stopped their vaccination program as a result, but I found it totally typical, not even ironic, it's just to be expected. Apparently, there were 6 big pharmaceuticals who signed on to mass produce this vaccine, and 5 of them were owned by the Rockefeller Consortium, and the one, Qatar Laboratories, that was not, when they could no longer suppress the fact that this vaccine was killing children, guess which lab was blamed?
Qatar.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
You know what? I'll tell you a story about that. When this first happened to my son, I wanted to go right to the top. So I called the CDC. I didn't call them. I'm sorry. I emailed them because I wanted everything documented that they said to me. And I went back and forth with a doctor that was there for about, I want to say, 3 weeks. And he would write me at 12 o'clock at night. I couldn't believe it. But we went back and forth for about 2 weeks. Now, I put it all on my website. It's called Questions and Answers from the CDC.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have a really fun time, read that.
Okay.
But I asked him about everything about vaccines, and he was kind enough to answer me. And he told me to read a certain book called Vaccines by Stanley Plotkin. So this book is like $135. So I bought it, and I read the whole thing. And that is when I found out about the Qatar incident.
Mm-hmm.
I cried for 3 weeks. when I realized what these criminals are doing under the guise of health care. They gave all these little black children this vaccine and they died.
Oh, boy.
And they just experimented on them.
Uh-huh.
And they call it the Cutter incident. And they said, oh, it was like a black eye on vaccines. Oh, my God, a black eye.
Nice pun.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's their own stuff. You know, you don't have to be way out to not believe in vaccines. You can read their stuff.
Yeah.
Everything on my website is from the CDC or some doctor. It's their own literature that hangs them.
You started talking about polio. Folks are liable to say, okay, if it wasn't a virus, what was it?
You know, there's so many different things. There's one guy on the web, which I think this is very plausible. Now, you know, I haven't researched it ad nauseum like I have, you know, other things. But if you take a look at when the polio, you know, first came out, the first problems that people are, you know, showing this paralysis or
yeah.
whatever, it was when they started using DDT. Now, he has mm-hmm. a graph that shows the polio epidemic and then right alongside it, the use of DDT. And then when they stopped using DDT, polio just mysteriously disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that's one that's very compelling. I mean, it's a big possibility.
And the other one, I'm sure you know too, the refined sugar intake.
Right, right. And, you know, during the summer, there's a whole bunch of different things like that. But also, polio has so many symptoms. You know, Guillain-Barré, I think that's how you pronounce it,
uh-huh.
is the same thing as polio. So either they just change the name.
They change the name, yeah, yeah.
You know, they can call polio aseptic meningitis now.
Uh-huh.
So either it's not gone at all, or a certain pesticide made it more prevalent. I mean, there's so many different things.
Well,
if you're thinking that injecting three viruses that they found in a sewer in Japan is somehow going to stop polio, no.
I have no trouble at all believing that polio is here today and we're calling it meningitis or Guillain-Barré or whatever you...
Right.
Because we're living in a day and age that we can't even call a war anymore. It's a peacekeeping action. We're living in the world that 7/8 of the world that Orwell predicted.
Yes. Yes. And where is the plane that hit the Pentagon, you know?
Oh, yeah. I am totally on board with you there. 9/11
like
was an inside job.
One picture of it.
Yeah.
I like to see
yeah.
just one picture of that plane. Just a tail. Piece of luggage. Anything.
Oh, boy, am I ever on board with you there.
It's not there. It's not there, and it's so sad because if you try to say that to somebody, like especially my dad, he's like, "Don't talk like that because if you're not with us, you're against us."
Isn't that yeah? Well,
oh my dad, come on.
You know who said that first?
Bush.
I have
was it Bush?
It was Bush, but I have a bumper sticker from libertystickers.com.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, unless they're making this up, apparently Nikolai Lenin was actually the first person to utter that.
Wow.
Isn't that ironic?
Wow. You know something? Before this happened, I was like, you know, your basic PTA mom, you know?
Yeah.
I never looked at anything that had the least bit of a conspiracy to it. But after you see this, it opens your eyes to so many other things that are going on.
Yeah.
Oh. You're not the same person anymore.
Well, let me ask you. Now, that's interesting, Wendy. Did you realize that 9/11 was an inside job before or after you came across the vaccine?
It was definitely after.
After, okay.
Because I never would have even thought about it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it wasn't until there was that little chink in the armor, like, and one of the first things was, okay.
Interesting, yeah.
At 12 hours old, they want to give my child a vaccine for sexually transmitted disease.
Oh, yeah.
You know, come on. And then I start looking for, you know, at the vaccine schedule, 4 tetanus shots by the time they're 18 months old. 4.
Wow.
They're barely out of the crib. And they want to give them tetanus shots? And tetanus is a bacteria. You can't become immune to it if you tried.
Uh-huh.
You know, and pertussis, whooping cough, it's bacteria. You can't become immune to bacteria.
They're in
us. Well, check that inside you.
Yeah, and again, if Beauchamp was right and Pasteur was wrong, which when you read the kind of books you're evidently not supposed to read, you realize is true, then this bacteria, it's in us all the time, and it's like a chameleon. They just they change to pathological or beneficial, depending on how we interact with the world.
Sicker or healthier we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. Yeah, I was amazed at what a fraud, at what a charlatan Louis Pasteur was. I can't believe that apparently his only gift, or his main gift, was self-promotion.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't even a doctor. I think he paid $10 to get his license or something.
Well, did he do that too? I know Edward Jenner did that.
Oh, maybe it was Jenner. Yeah, it could have been.
The man who killed his child and another neighbor's boy.
Oh, God. Can you imagine? And you know, if you start looking, you know, syphilis is a cow virus. How do we get cow viruses?
Well, okay, let's explain the transition. Edward Jenner was he was a farmer who bought for $75, the equivalent of $75, bought himself a doctor's license,
yeah,
and started experimenting to come up with a smallpox vaccine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, now come in with your syphilis.
Okay, so syphilis is a cow virus.
Mm-hmm.
So after they put the smallpox vaccine into us, all of a sudden people come up with cow viruses, like syphilis, which should never have been in our body in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you inject that stuff in, that's what happens. I mean, it's crazy. I just saw something the other day. Oh, yeah. I think it was the polio vaccine. In the polio vaccine, there's a enterovirus or something like that. And it's RSV. Now, all these kids are coming down with RSV.
What is RSV?
It's a some sort of virus that's a respiratory virus.
Is that producing asthma, perhaps?
Well, they have a vaccine for it.
Naturally.
And they give it to premature babies. It's like they're... Okay, like for example, the cytomuglio virus, I think that's how it's called. I can never... Let's just say CMV, okay? There's an old story that this Dr. Ben Sweet, found all these monkey viruses in the polio vaccine.
Uh-huh.
Herpes, mono. I mean, you all think you get this from kissing. It's from your polio vaccine.
Oh.
Yeah, so he finds all these 159 viruses in the polio vaccine. And then it's suppressed. He's, you know, booted out of his job. And then it's all, you know, nobody knows about it. So I put this on my site. And this is how I get this doctor that writes me. He's making a vaccine for that. And I tell him it's a monkey virus. He goes, oh, there's no data, there's no nothing. Well, it's all suppressed. But this Dr. Ben Sweet says it was in there. So he's actually making a vaccine for a vaccine-induced illness. When they make a herpes virus, a herpes vaccine, it's for a vaccine-induced illness.
Now, isn't that kind of like trying to fix a hole in a blanket with a pair of scissors?
Yes, yes. It's like make the problem, create the problem, and then fix it with a vaccine. And this, the human papilloma, that's also listed in Ben Sweet's thing. You know, he thinks it's a monkey virus too, because monkeys get HPV. Now, mm-hmm. Whether or not it's the same virus, I mean, once if it's a monkey virus and it's in a monkey, and then you inject it into humans, I'm sure it's going to mutate a little bit, you know, and then,
yeah.
Or it might be the same, I don't know, but nobody's saying. But that's essentially what they're doing. For all these diseases they've created, they're creating a vaccine to fix a vaccine-induced illness.
Oh, well, yeah, that fits, because it's the same thing with prescription drugs. They cause side effects, which you need other drugs for, and again, at the top of vaccinations and pills, you have Big Pharma and you got Rockefeller.
Exactly. You know, another example, my dad has had high cholesterol, so they wanted to give him Lipitor.
Mm.
So he didn't tell me.
Get him off of that.
Well, yeah.
It might lower your cholesterol, but it'll kill your heart at the same time from
exactly.
everything I've read.
And you know what else it causes? He said, God, I can't move my legs. My legs are killing me. Mm-hmm. I go, well, what have you done different, Dad? What have you done different? Well, nothing. I said, did you take any new drugs? Did you? He goes, oh, yeah, I'm taking Lipitor. So I look up Lipitor, and it has the side effect is this muscle rhabdo something horrible name.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, Dad, I think you have this. Let's call your doctor. So he calls his doctor and he goes, my daughter thinks I have this rhabdo thing from, you know, this Lipitor. He goes, is your daughter a doctor? He goes,
no.
And he goes, well, then you don't. Then just take your Lipitor. So he says, he goes, she's got some stuff that, you know, she's printed and she wants you to read it. He said, I don't have time. I don't have time for that. It was the package insert to Lipitor that says muscle weakness and you need to stop right away. So I took him off of it. Oh, my God.
This is how a dogmatic priesthood reacts when they are
but
challenged.
I said, Dad, I said, are you seeing this? He's like, yeah. He hates seeing this. He really does. I hate showing it to him because I really liked it when I was, you know, before I took the red pill. I was very happy.
Ignorance is bliss.
It truly is. And, you know, I vacillate between, should I tell people? Or should I not?
And have them think I'm crazy.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, and it was a beautiful thing not knowing anything. And now it's just like everything you look at, the additives that are in food, the MSG alone.
Yeah. Well, let me.
But MSG and vaccines.
So is your father off that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have him? Maybe you've heard alternative doctors like Shane Ellison and others touting vitamin C.
You know, yes, he does. You know what he did? It was the most powerful, beautiful thing that we have ever done.
Mm-hmm.
We took him to Hallelujah Acres. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
It's this George Malthus has. It's totally raw eating. You eat raw. You juice. He lost 25 pounds. His eyesight came back.
Wow.
His sugar went down to. I mean, he's barely diabetic. I mean, he did so beautifully well on it. That, you know, he was going once a month to get his retinas cauterized because they bleed all the time from being diabetic.
Uh-huh.
And after he'd been to Hallelujah Acres for a week and then he'd been on the diet for probably 2 months, the doctor went back and said, are you the same person? I mean, he didn't even recognize his x-rays, you know, from now till then. That's the difference in eating right. It's tremendous. His cholesterol went down. If you do what you're supposed to do, what God tells you to do, how to eat, you can heal anything. But the problem is staying on it. It's hard. It's like you have to plan your whole day around eating. Because it's nothing cooked. It's all raw. It's all fresh. It's juice. But you can heal anything from it. And that's how we did my son.
Wow.
And recovered him. We went totally organic, no meat, very little bread, and he did a beautiful job in healing. All his vaccine remedies, we did a bunch of brain healing stuff, vitamins. I went to every doctor on the planet, okay? And we did all kinds of things from all of them. I don't know what the one thing was, you know, that did it. I think the vaccine remedies were the initial thing. But after that, we did all these brain healing vitamins and organic food, and he's beautiful. He's a grade ahead of what he should be.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's great to hear.
Yeah, because I was so afraid. I mean, I'd already had his life figured out. Okay, he's going to seize all day long.
Yeah. Oh boy.
He'll be a vegetable. And for what? I went to a class. And I sat in the class to learn how to put a car seat in for 2 hours, 9 months pregnant. I couldn't even sit in the desk to listen to how to put a car seat in. And I didn't take 5 minutes to research what I had injected inside him.
Well, you make a good point. They do. They totally stress car seats now. And look what they want to inject in the baby's veins.
Yeah. It's like smoke and mirrors. Look over here. Look over here.
Oh, my.
Worry about a car seat.
It's upside down.
Yeah. Don't worry about aluminum, mercury, formaldehyde, RNA, and DNA from diseased animal tissue.
Yeah, Wendy, gosh, you really got me thinking now. If you see, or if a policeman or whoever sees, a mother Say 50 years ago, if you saw a mom driving and holding her baby, you'd think, yeah, that's kind of stupid. But you'd, beyond that, you wouldn't think much of it.
Right.
But nowadays, people really flip out over if you hold a baby without a car seat in a car.
Yeah.
And yet, the same people who would flip out over that will go and have their babies vaccinated.
Yeah. I mean, I look at these moms, and have you seen, like, when they go to the grocery store and they sit those blankets inside the basket? There's a blanket that goes inside the basket so the baby can't touch anything but this blanket.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll always go up to those moms and I go, do you vaccinate? Oh, yeah. So you're worried about all the germs that he might touch, but it's okay to inject that inside.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my.
Oh, my God.
Well, a few other little tidbits from what I've been reading. You take a thing like polio, and again, we're talking vaccination history. A thing like polio or any some of the other diseases, too, that have been vaccinated for. And wherever we have, say, our troops who are required to be vaccinated, say the Philippines. Say in the 1950s, the only people in the Philippines getting polio were our troops. The Philippines were not getting it because our troops were being vaccinated.
Well, you're injecting it inside you. You know, that's not a good plan. I mean, we both know the germ theory. But using their own logic, if you're trying to avoid disease, why would you inject a piece of it inside you?
Yeah, why wouldn't it be okay for when a mosquito bites you with malaria then?
Well,
using their logic.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't see that's why it's a belief. It's a religion.
It's a faith.
There's no science. There's no logic. You can't hold a conversation with them because they either don't know or they can't explain it.
Well, another thing McBean points out in The Poison Needle, and this is at the beginning of the book, she gives some statistics. Apparently, about 100 years ago, the American public was vastly more healthy than today, and I don't have the page in front of me, but we're like 60 to 80% of Americans are classified as unhealthy today, especially when you throw in all these autoimmune diseases and asthma and diabetes and all these things we didn't have 100 years ago.
Right.
The only common denominator is vaccination.
Have you seen this? I have this on my website, and it's not, you know, I don't think it's been researched fully. I mean, there's been people that have talked about this whole theory, but it makes perfect sense to me. Like, for example, the anthrax vaccine they're using an oil called squalene.
Uh-huh.
Now, squalene is an oil. It's a lipid, like fat in your body. And we have it. You know, we have lipids in our body that are very similar to squalene. Now, if you inject that inside your body, first of all, you know, your body has no warning. And when it finally sees it, it's like, oh, that's not us. We need to attack that. So if it attacks that, it learns to attack that oil. And then the body is tricked, you know, possibility that it is. It's tricked by saying, oh, that oil looks just like our oil. Let's attack it.
Uh-huh.
And then you have those muscle-wasting diseases like MS and ALS. Now, if that antigen, you know, that complex that's been injected inside you goes into your islets of Langerhans near your pancreas, then your body goes, oh, that's not us, and starts to attack it. And your body attacks your own pancreas. Then you have diabetes. I mean, these vaccines, it's a possibility. It's not 100% proven, but it sounds logical to me.
Absolutely. It's, we have so much more of things like kidney disease and all kinds of... And
well, look at this. You put aluminum, it's so hard on kidneys to digest. The childhood vaccines have like one... I don't know. I put it on my website. You'll see the amount. I think it's 1 gram or something. It's a tiny little bit in all the vaccines. But baby kidneys are only supposed to digest and assimilate breast milk.
Yeah.
Not heavy metals like aluminum.
Oh, my. I never thought of that.
Yeah, so it's going to damage those little baby kidneys from day one. And then they wonder why we all have, you know, kidney disease.
Yeah. Wendy, it's, as we just mentioned a few minutes ago, it's our contention, and Eleanor McBean and Waylene James and a bunch of other doctors and homeopaths, it's all of our contention that the thing that cured the epidemics of smallpox and polio had a lot more to do with proper nutrition and sanitation.
Exactly.
Than anything else. My gosh, as you mentioned, they bump people in support of vaccinations. They twist the facts by bumping up the when they start recording to, 1940 or something, when these diseases were already tapering off.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, how do they explain the fact that history before that, you have diseases like scurvy and beriberi that were unmistakably, I mean, they won't even argue this, that we're cured from proper nutrition.
Well, look at this. Do you remember when all they needed to do was send a lemon on the trip?
Limeys, that's right.
You know it took 40 years for them to put the lemon on the boat? 40 years. After they knew
that's
it,
where I was going. Dr. James Lind.
Yeah.
A British?
I learned that because I homeschool. And I learned that.
Because you homeschool?
My kids. Hey, I couldn't believe it.
You homeschool, is that what you said?
Yes.
Amen. Hey, yeah.
I've learned all kinds of things.
That was in the curriculum?
Yeah, it was in the curriculum. And the whole thing, I could, you know when this starts? It starts in kindergarten. One of the stories that my daughter had to read was Josh going to the doctor because a dog bit him and he had to have a tetanus shot. Or a dog, maybe it was he scratched his leg.
Oh, you mean a rabies shot?
Yeah, it wasn't a rabies. It was a tetanus. So it must have been that Josh scratched his leg, and he had to go to the doctor and get a shot. I took that book. I called the company. I said, this is insane. You take this out of the curriculum right now. This is horrible. I went off for about a good hour. I think they took the book out.
I hope so.
But that's when it starts. The brainwashing begins in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm. Well, think of it. Okay, here we go. A movie like Old Yeller. What happens at the end of Old Yeller? And this is a movie for kids. The dog dies of rabies, and it's heartbreaking.
Yes.
But my jaw really dropped. I'm reading Eleanor McBean's work and Waylene James and some others, and they're quoting all of these legitimate doctors who, it's their contention that rabies is a fictitious disease.
I believe it. This is so funny.
It's an urban legend.
Yes. And you know what the rabies vaccine is made out of?
Oh, what?
Rabbit brain.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So this argument that I have with this doctor, he thinks I'm a criminal because I refuse to give a rabies shot to my children. And I said, I don't think that I'm going to inject diseased rabbit brain into my kids and think that's going to be helpful if they get bit by something that is, rabbit, whatever. I'm not going to do it.
Well, the vaccine has killed many a child. That's
exactly
on record.
You know what? He sends me this one article that's on the web, and this guy talks about how you can get these rabies shots, after the fact. It's like you can get bit and you can wait a couple days and then have a rabies shot, and this is going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, you can wait up to 11 years. You can be bit by something, be perfectly fine for 11 years. Does that? So I always write him back and say, I'll wait the 11 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I was astounded to read. Here we go with Louis Pasteur again, the master charlatan. He supposedly came up with the rabies vaccine, and he supposedly cured this boy who had been bitten. If I remember correctly, his last Meissner was the last name of the boy, and he supposedly injected this boy with these painful shots in the belly, and it was a historical precedent. He saved the boy from rabies. And what they never tell us, and which I'm reading in these books, is there were two or three other boys who had been bitten by the same dog. They didn't get the shots. They were also fine.
Oh, man. I know. It's such a scam.
Oh, boy. I have a lot more reading to do on your website. You have so much of it up. Now, I noticed you have one radio show up, which, as I mentioned beforehand, I wish they would have let you talk some more.
They were so hostile towards me. It was unbelievable. When I first started talking on the first commercial, as soon as he put me on hold, he stood up and he screamed, "You can't talk like that!" It was unbelievable. He was so hostile towards me.
There is something about radio above all of the other propaganda mediums that attract the sleazebags. I don't know why, even more than television and the publication business.
Yeah. Well, he was very much against me. Now, the other guy, PC, was not as much.
Uh-huh.
I think by the end of it, he believed me. When
wow.
the guy at the very end says something about Alzheimer's, there was, these people keep getting flu shots. It's mercury on top of mercury on top of mercury, and then pretty soon, by 50, they have Alzheimer's.
When
the guy finally said that at the end, he looked at me for the first time. We were there for 3 hours. He looked at me for the first time and said, "Really?" And I went, "Yeah."
A light went on,
except it was, 2:56, and we were done at 3.
Well, I wish... And maybe that's because he wouldn't let anybody else talk. I don't know.
No, he wouldn't.
But
He did not like my analogy of Mother Teresa.
Well, I'll give you another analogy that I thought of, except it's only partially right, because actually the vaccination thing is even more flagrant, is why the analogy fails. But after World War One. I'm kind of a history buff. After World War One, you had American soldiers coming, returning. America had joined in belatedly to World War One, and ebullient American soldiers came home saying, "Hey, we won the war. Those, France and Germany, they couldn't handle it on their own, so we took care of France and England couldn't handle it, so we came in and we beat the Germans." But America, I mean, the whole war was fought to a stalemate between France and England versus Germany. And, I mean, France and England did all the work, and then America came in and gave the final push. And it's the same thing going on with vaccinations, except I don't even think vaccinations gave any kind of a final push. These diseases, polio and smallpox, they were already well on the way out.
Oh, yeah. And, I really think more and more people are waking up. Really.
I hope so.
When I first put up that website, 5 years ago, I had like 5 hits. Now, I get a letter at least every 2 days about, thank you so much, I finally saw this, blah, blah, blah. I think people are really starting to see it.
That would be fantastic.
I know. Well, the whole thing is, their kids are so damaged.
Mm-hmm.
That they have to start looking. 1 in 6 kids has a learning disability. Come on. We're losing a whole generation, and if these moms don't wake up...
Well, and yeah, you bring up another good point. This so-called ADHD, whether there really is such a thing, and all these other...
Well, there is a thing, and it's heavy metal poisoning.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, these kids, if you take a look, I added up all the metal, all the mercury that my kids got, 237 micrograms of mercury.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're allowed 5 if you weigh 110 pounds.
Oh, boy.
Now, did you hear me? 237. That's how much my kids got. Now, obviously, my daughter was able to, it came out of her body. Her body was able to discharge it. But these autistic kids, it's still there. And when they chelate them, they recover them.
I've heard people, once or twice in my life, I've heard people get kind of a chuckle when they recall how the Romans were so stupid as to poison themselves with lead because they had lead cups. What's going to happen in the future when people of the future think about what we've done to our babies?
Yeah, we've poisoned them with mercury.
And so many other pathogens and metals, like the aluminum, like you said. If you, Wendy, if you were confronted, or not confronted, but if you were to speak to a mom right now who was totally in the dark about this, totally was on the mainstream disinformation grid and listened to her white coat priests with the with the needles. What would you say to her to wake her up? I mean, you've probably gone through this a number of times. How do you go about it?
You know what I do? I have little cards that I make up. And if I see a pregnant lady or one with a new baby or anything like that, I'll come up to them and I'll say, I just want you to make an informed choice. I didn't know the other side of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at this side and then make an informed choice. You're going to hear all you need to hear from your doctor. Take a look at this side and then make your own choice, because you are the one that's going to be living, holding on to your child while they seize 8 times a day. You're going to be the one, not your pediatrician, because they don't even call you afterwards.
No, they certainly, yeah.
So I just try to do it like that. And I've gotten to the point where I'll just say, you know, if you have eyes that can see and ears that can hear, listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, you're still in that whole vaccine paradigm, I can't help. I can't. I mean, I put up billboards. You know,
one lady
said to me the other day, well, why aren't you telling more people? I said, I put up a billboard. What else do you want me to do?
Now, where and how are you doing that? That's interesting.
Well, I put one, I live in Gainesville,
uh-huh.
Florida, so I put one up in Gainesville and Ocala, which is a little bigger town south of me.
Pastor Mike Slattery's town, yeah.
That's where Mike Slattery is, yes. He loved it. And, yeah, he did. I'm pretty sure he gave me a nice donation for it, too.
Wow.
Yeah, I put it on my website, just go to PayPal, donate to it. Now, for the last 3 years, I've been able to put it up. It's $400 a month. And I had it up for the first time. Boy, I really got a nice chunk of change from people that were, you know what, you know who it's from? Nurses that get to see this carnage firsthand.
No.
How scary is that?
Nurses who have been awakened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I had two nurses that really gave nice donations, and I was able to put that billboard up for, I want to say, God, I can't remember the first time, but it was like 3-4 months. Then the next time I decided, they had a big stink about it on TV that, oh, you're not going to get in school unless you have this, these vaccines. So then I went and put this, a little snipe on it that says, religious exemptions are easily obtained. Oh boy, did that take them off. So I put that back up.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it up in August, right before school. And then the following year, I did it again in Gainesville and in Ocala. Now, this year, I want to put it up again in August, and I only have $100 towards it.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone feels compelled and they want to, you know, put this billboard back up, please don't hesitate. Just go to PayPal. $10 is good. I mean, I got $10 from, I can't even tell you how many moms.
Wow.
And that's all it takes. It's just a lot of moms wanting to warn other moms and dads, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because moms and dads are in this together when it happens. But, you know, it's usually the mom that's holding the baby.
Oh, boy. Now, give us your web address again, Wendy.
It's vaccinetruth.org. It's
yeah.
Real easy to remember. Vaccine, and it's the truth.
Just out of curiosity, Wendy, you got a looks like a radio show number 2 on, and that link's not working. Do you know what's up with that?
You know,
that?
I tried to fix that. I'll try it again.
Okay.
You know, I had to change websites,
mm-hmm.
Hosts, and I lost a few things. And somebody else called me, and I thought I had fixed it, but I will try to put it on again the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll work on that.
I see you have you have so many articles here. I see one called Awakenings. That doesn't have to do with the movie,
yeah.
Does it?
You know what that is? That is all the parents who never vaccinated, and you'll see their sweet pink-cheeked children up there. Or
wow.
It'll be a mom that, you
look
know.
At all these babies, yeah.
Yeah. These are all unvaccinated babies.
So,
The way the website works is if you look down, you see all those little animated GIFs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They represent each page.
How creative.
Yeah. Well, you know what it was, is I was in school when this happened, and I had to write a paper on a disease.
Uh-huh.
And I said to my teacher, look, the only thing I'm researching right now is vaccines. Do you mind if I do it on vaccines? She said, sure. So when I originally wrote the paper, it's like 39 pages long. I said, I have to turn this in. It was supposed to be 5. I have to turn this in or it's going to be a book. And she turned it in, wanted to make copies for everyone in the class, and then she has me come back every semester and do a 2-hour presentation on vaccines for her class.
Oh, wow.
She was a biology teacher, and she got it, you know, quick like that. She understood the whole thing. As soon as she saw it, her eyes just opened up. And it was fantastic. So she has me come back and speak to her students.
Wow.
But that's the way it's set up. So each one of those little animated things represents a page in there and on a subject. Now, the other stuff that's on the top, the little squiggly lines,
mm-hmm.
those are just, okay, there was no place in my paper to talk about animal vaccines.
Uh-huh.
So I made another page about animals or the military, and there are all their problems. And then the question and answers from the CDC. And there's one there, you know, pictures of my precious kids. You can see those, too.
It's a very aesthetically pleasing website.
It's fun. It's creative. And I try to make it happy because it's such a miserable subject.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, usually people that are coming to my site, it's because their kids, they've put in vaccine damage or vaccine problems or seizures, you know. So I wanted them to have something that's at least entertaining and funny, you know, kind of.
Yeah. Well, Wendy, folks, this has been Wendy Callahan was our guest today. And Wendy, did you have, before we get out of here, anything else, some final parting words?
Let's see. Just make an informed choice. Read my website before you vaccinate your babies. Call me up if you have questions. I'm happy to hold your hand and walk you through it.
Okay, and that website is vaccinetruth.org. Wendy, we may or may not have a few other things to discuss just for a couple minutes after, but we're going to sign off for now. So, Wendy, thanks for being with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's my pleasure.
The chance of loss, drowned by the roar of the engine. A cog in the wheel that flattens the roads to the future. Seasons change and fade with every passing year.
That is the way things are.